This week's podcast is one I think a lot of people are going to get something out of. It's about a product called Collagen Regenerate. It is a Gelida collagen. It is a specific bioactive collagen peptide. I don't know what that means. Harriet, sports dietitian, is with me to describe what that is and talk about some of the cool research that AIS did with it.
Yep, absolutely. So we're going to dig into the collagen supplement, which uses the Tenderfoot collagen, and why, how, when to use it.
And that specific bioactive collagen peptide is around strong ligaments and tendons, something close to a lot of our hearts.
That's it. That's what we want. Let's roll.
Welcome to the Body Science Podcast, bringing you everything you need, want, and should know about health, fitness, nutrition, and training. As always, the information contained in this podcast is for the information purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or be prescriptive to treat, prevent, or manage any injury, disease, or other health-related condition.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Collagen Regenerate, Australia's first advanced collagen peptide for tendons and ligaments, supported by intensive clinical trials, research, and a comprehensive AIS study. Collagen Regenerate sits proudly within the body science range as the most researched and most versatile collagen on the market. Whether you're a professional athlete, functional trainer, recovering from injury, an endurance sports athlete, runner, weekend warrior, aspiring young athlete, or general elderly population, Collagen Regenerate has something to offer you. Exclusive to Body Science with 50 milligrams of vitamin C to assist in connective tissue synthesis, this product truly is in a league of its own.
Welcome to Body Science HQ, the land of fit, happy, healthy, and we're going to add to that strong ligaments and tendons. Hey, Harriet, how are you traveling?
Hey, really well, thank you. How are you going?
I'm ready for a little bit of a prodcast.
How we haven't
done a prodcast
feeling?
For a while. It's not very often a dietitian will do a prodcast with me.
What prod stand for?
Product.
Oh.
Yeah, we're throwing out our souls today. We're going to talk about a product. No, that's a good dad joke. Collagen Regenerate, we've called it. The ingredient is Tenderfoot. It is a specific bioactive collagen peptide. We've added a bit of vitamin C in there. That was your call.
Yep.
Now, Tenderfoot is to provide nutritional support to keep the ligaments and tendons strong and flexible. It has preclinical and clinical trials that show some pretty cool positive effects, which I'm hoping, when combined with physical activity, you can have a chat about now. Let's bring it on. You're the sports dietitian. I think this one's going to be popular in the sporting world, the lifting world.
Mm-hmm.
People, because, you know, we probably could start with a little bit on tendons and ligaments and
yep.
why it's important.
Yep, absolutely. So this is a big-ish topic. It's pretty chunky. But what we should first start identifying is, what are tendons and ligaments?
Yes.
So tendons and ligaments are types of connective tissue. So have you ever seen, you probably have, this is a rhetorical question, have you ever seen the anatomical maps of the muscles of the body and there's a white stuff? That white stuff is the connective tissue. Tendons, ligaments, cartilage, whatnot. Basically, it's like the stuff that sticks our body together. The white stuff on those pictures is the connective tissue made out of collagen. Ligaments are the tissue that holds bone to bone, and tendons are the tissue that holds muscle to bone.
Well, I guess if you have a weakness in either of those, you're not building muscle.
Nope. Well, I mean, we get sapped of the power that we can produce from that active muscle. So ligaments and tendons are that can be porous.
Mm-hmm.
What we want from a tendon and ligament, we want it to be stiff, but we also want it to be pliable as well. So that sounds like a little bit of a contrasting...
Stiff and pliable.
Yeah. So you want it to be stiff so it can efficiently produce force. If you think about like an elastic band, you can get a lot of slack out of something. Mm-hmm. You can pull it. It's not going to provide as much... You can't transfer as much force through it if it's stretching, as opposed to having something that's quite rigid, like a piece of rope. It doesn't stretch and you can pull more with it.
Yep.
If it's not stretching as much. However, if tendons and ligaments get too stiff, we can actually get injuries. Also with age, we can also get injuries with tendons and ligaments because collagen, which we'll walk through in a little bit, is one of the major components of tendons and ligaments, and collagen is a protein. And with age, as we know, muscle development is harder with age because of amino acids.
Well, we're not eating chewing bones anymore. We're not having all those type of concepts.
We're not eating nose to tail, and we'll go through why that's important. Mm. So a lot of the skins and connective tissue that's associated with those meat cuts. But also with age, we also see reduction in the density of collagen in tendons and ligaments as
yep.
well, which is one of the big factors. So either inactivity can cause issues with tendons and ligaments if they're not strong enough to start with. Can see issues with tendons and ligaments if they are strong, but then we go do a movement which is too powerful and it kind of snaps a bit. that you might get an athlete who's been doing a specific training modality. They might be doing a strength block and then they go to do something more dynamic and they get a little bit of a spring in there, like they get a bit of a snap.
And that's when you can talk about the AIS dot study, because it went along the lines of people who are repeatedly having issues. Yeah.
Repetitive move strains and whatnot. And then the other aspect is with age, we can get a little bit of decline in the density of the collagen fibers, which can again lead to issues in this tissue.
That's why I'm excited about this product, because it's not only the sporting populations, it's not only your bodybuilding and or your crossfitting and your functional, it's also the elderly.
Yeah, 100%.
So for me, this is a really cool product. We've had to test it. Every batch is tested. She's pure as. It's Tenderfort. You can't just say, I use Tenderfort. You have to buy into the program of what they're trying to achieve with the product. We're the first one to bring that.
So it's a clinically validated type of collagen. Yeah, exactly. So it's been used in a number of studies, and Gelita, which is the company that produces Tenderfort, have actually been producing collagen derivative products for, I think they said 150 years.
Yeah.
So they've got a wealth of research behind this. They're based in Germany. As a result of that research, they've been able to really drill down into a number of specific products targeted at the specific tissues that we're talking about.
And the good thing here is too, you're not lumping massive big scoops of anything in. These guys have been very specific in what they're doing. It's a 5-gram serve. That's exciting. We can add that to our coffee. We can add that to our smoothies. We can just put it in water. It's really easy to use. I've been using it for 6 weeks now and I've had 3 knee surgeries. Got to say, the first kilometer used to really nail a big dude. Probably haven't run a hell of a lot in my life. May have committed to a
marathon
here and there. I'm actually running now with no pain.
Good news.
So I'm a massive fan of this product. It took 4 weeks for that to happen, and they talk about needing a month, and you can probably go into that later. I'm not sure.
Yep, we can look at some of the research protocols and whatnot.
But one of the big things is this is a specific bioactive collagen peptide. It's not the stuff you buy in your beauty products. It's not the stuff you buy when you see 1,000 logos on the front saying this collagen fixes everything and launches rockets. It is very much around strong ligaments and tendons. And Susan from Gelita also said it's going to make me look better too. She did drop that in because there's a little similarity between soft tissue and soft tissue. So
we will talk about the different types of collagen. I think that's a really nice place to start. So collagen.
How about we start with what is collagen? Can we start there?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's hot. Everyone's talking about it.
It is a buzzword. I think it's
on products
oil.
And not in the formulas. I see a lot. Like it's a word that's used a lot around things. There's also 30-gram serves of it, 20-gram serves of it, 5-gram serves of it, 2-gram serves of it. So let's talk about what is collagen and focus on Tenderfort.
We'll break it down a little bit more. Mm. So collagen is a structural protein. It is the most abundant of protein in our body. So about 30% of the protein content of our body is actually collagen. So hair, skin, nails, cartilage, tendons, ligaments, anything, like I said, the white bit on our body, when you look at the muscle maps, that is connective tissue, which is made of collagen. It's basically the glue that, you know, holds our body together. Collagen has a structure which is like 3 pieces of string that's been twisted together. So you can imagine it's quite rigid, but it also has a little bit of a give because of that helical structure. So there's some amino acids. So remembering back to some of other podcasts, amino acids are the building blocks of proteins, like the letters of the alphabet. We use different amino acids to make different proteins. There is specific amino acids that collagen relates to collagen. We've got glycine, proline, hydroxyproline as the key ones. And then we've got lysine, leucine, a couple of others which are associated. But glycine is probably the major amino acid that you'll associate with collagen, along with the hydroxyproline, proline. It gives strength to structures. If we think about tendons and ligaments holding bone to bone, muscle to bone, in order to transfer force when my muscle contract, the tendons and ligaments are what helps transfer that muscular contraction to actually getting the skeleton to move. So you want nice stiff tendons to be able to efficiently transfer that force. When it comes to skin, so skin is, you know, the largest protective barrier in our body. So it helps us, you know, keep out all the nasties from the world. We'd look kind of icky if we didn't have skin. So collagen's also associated with the elasticity in our skin. And as I say that,
Harriet is doing faces and pushing her face right now. Yeah.
Wishing that the collagen wasn't being leached out of my body. But unfortunately with age, I'm aging gracefully. But with age, we do see more wrinkles, and that is associated with a decline of the amounts of collagen within our skin. So that's why you'll see collagen products booming at the moment, associated with skin product, beauty, water, and whatnot. An important point to focus in on right now is that there are different types of collagen.
There is.
There are different types and they're associated with the different tissues. So there is type 1 collagen, type 2 collagen, type 3 collagen. They are the main ones. It can go up to 16 or more that they have identified. The three main ones that we'll focus in on are type 1, type 2, type 3. So type 1 collagen is the major collagen associated with skin. So it's got slightly different properties. As you can imagine, skin's a little bit softer, a bit more pliable because of the different properties it needs to have to protect us from the outside world. Type 2 collagen is a little bit different. Again, it is the collagen that makes up most of our ligaments and tendons. It is a slightly more robust. Obviously, tendons and ligaments are quite stiff and we want them that way. So it has a different amino acid structure. And then type 3, which is associated with the similar properties to skin. But yeah, so we have these different type 3. We've got the blood vessels and some of the other connective tissues that, you know, associated with the body. So what we want when we're looking at a supplement is a collagen supplement that is supplying the amino acids that are most predominant in the tissue that we're trying to stimulate. And when it comes to using a supplemental collagen, we can get collagen from a diet.
Where are we getting it from? Let's just tell people where they are getting their collagen from now.
If we're thinking about the foods that we eat, so gelatin is a derivative of collagen. So when I boil down the things like the skin, the animal products, animal byproducts that we don't tend to eat anymore that might have been quite popular back in the day. So we're talking about like the skin, the trotters, the connective tissue of animals.
Why put your nose up?
I'm just thinking about little Babe the pig and I'm, you know, just getting, I shouldn't picture these things. But anyway, so those things get boiled down and made into things like gelatin. So gelatin is a partially broken down collagen and it is only soluble in hot water. If we go one step further with the gelatin and we break it down even further via a process that we called hydrolyzation, we get the peptides that are associated with hydrolyzed collagen, and that is both soluble in water and in cold water and hot water. So gelatin we associate with like jelly. It's the stuff that makes like
jelly. Yeah.
You know, if you leave meat that's been cooked for a while, you get that jelly residue. That's that same thing. It's collagen peptides. If you're brave enough to eat it, I know plenty of people do. Same with bone broths. If you boil down bones and the skins of like a chicken carcass and whatnot, you get that really rich jelly in the fluids. And that's what makes it really rich in glycine, which is one of the amino acids associated, you know, with collagen as we spoke about before. So we can get it from our diet. We don't tend to eat this type of food in as much, you know, quantity, volume that we used to. And also, as with supplements generally, we're not looking for normal everyday doses when it comes to a therapeutic dose. We are generally looking for a dose beyond like an optimal dose, beyond what we might get in the diet. So that's the first thing that we're looking for in a collagen supplement. Is it giving us the peptides that are associated with the skin tissue or the tendon ligament tissue that I'm trying to repair?
Can I just ask a little question there? You mentioned the word peptides.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously when Essendon peptide scandal,
can you explain
the difference between a collagen peptide and the peptide that they were using?
So apparently
or could have been using, no one really knows.
So a peptide is basically a shorter chain of a protein. So it's like with sugars. If you think about sugar, we've got monosaccharides, disaccharides. So one unit of sugar, two units of sugar.
Yep.
Then we've got oligosaccharides, which might be a link of five or more units of sugar. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with, we've got an individual amino acid, but we might get two amino acids that stick together, and then we might have five amino acids that stick together. They're not a full protein, but they're a peptide, which is a precursor to a larger protein. So we can, any time a protein is broken down, a dietary protein is broken down, it can be broken down into peptides, shorter chain. When somebody is abusing performance enhancing.
Let's just use the word injecting, that way we know the difference.
Injecting?
Yeah.
We will say injecting. Performance enhancing peptide, PEP. They are generally peptides that are associated with the hormones that will produce a performance enhancement. So we're not going to accidentally get performance enhancing peptides. Well, they generally, you know, occur because somebody's trying to enhance the the hormones associated with that performance enhancement. We get peptides is just like a generic term for any shorter chain of protein. So it is important to just be across the fact that when I say whey protein peptides or It just means that it's a broken down version of the larger protein. So yeah. It might be a precursor. It might be something that is used to develop the bigger protein, the more whole protein.
Absolutely. Okay. Makes sense.
Yep. It is a bit complicated, but for the most part is peptides are just a generic term used in biology.
Yep.
It's any short chain protein, shorter chain of a protein. So when we're looking at supplementing with peptides, the collagen associated peptides, because of the different properties that we're looking for. So if I'm looking to improve the integrity of my skin, I'm, a spring chicken still. So this is not a big issue for me, I hope. But we can start supplementing with the type 1 collagen peptides because they're the ones that are associated with skin integrity. So with age, obviously those peptides are decreasing in volume in my skin. So by supplementing with that, I'm helping improve the integrity of my skin. If I am somebody who has a ligament or tendon injury, I don't want to be supplementing with, it's not going to be as effective if I'm supplementing with the collagen peptides that are associated with skin. I want to be using the peptides that are associated with my ligaments and tendons. And there's actually two ways in which we can stimulate that growth of tendon and that replenishment of tendon. And it's a similar within the mechanisms of like muscle growth. So we can stimulate muscle growth by having a calorie surplus. It triggers muscle growth independent of doing weights. Or we can stimulate muscle growth via the mechanical stressor of weight training. So that's two different ways we can stimulate the muscle fibers to grow. So similarly, we can stimulate collagen and tendon, the cells that are associated with repair or rejuvenation. So we're looking at the fibroblasts within the collagen, where they're a type of cell that are associated with regeneration of ligaments and tendons. So we can provide more collagen amino acids to the site, or we can provide the type of amino acid peptides that will stimulate. So when the cells within the tendon and ligament sense that there's an increased concentration of those amino acids in their presence, it stimulates the regeneration of that tissue. So that's kind of what we're looking for when we're supplementing. And we also need to look at the type of collagen supplement that we're taking, but we also need to look into when we take it. And this is one part of the AIS study that we're going to look at now that was really important in elucidating the efficacy of collagen supplement. And when I say elucidating, it's just clarifying how good it was.
I'm not going to say collagen supplements. I'm going to say Tenderfort.
Tenderfort was
this. Because that was the specific bioactive collagen peptide.
Yes. The AIS study, which we are referring to,
a couple of big hitters on that study too, I see.
Greg Shaw, Louise Burke.
Shout out to Greg Shaw. I haven't seen him for ages.
There we go. You can invite him over.
Yeah.
But basically, this was a 6-month design. It was a crossover. So basically, you have two groups of people. Both of them receive the active treatment, although one of them gets it first and then the other group gets it as well. But basically, you can compare first 3 months, the people who got the treatment versus the people who didn't. They were treating Achilles tendinopathy. So there was
big issue too.
An injury, and it's associated with an overuse injury. Runners, a lot of runners will get this. So there's long-term symptoms. So these people had potentially tried a few things to
They were repetitive heal this up. Too, weren't they?
Yep, like, yeah, repetitive. So they, first thing is that it's important to point out is that they were undertaking a structured rehabilitation program. So they had an exercise physiologist design a specific program for them to rehabilitate them. First 3 months, one group got rehabilitation program plus Tenderfort. Second condition was that they got just the rehabilitation and then was a control. So within...
Pretty cool result too.
Yeah. So within the first 3 months, 12 out of the 20 participants were able to return to running after starting the therapy with the daily intake.
And these are people who are having repetitive issues too. It's not like they just had one and it got fixed. This is repetitive issues.
Yeah, this is an ongoing chronic issue. Now, the study looked at doses of 5 and 15 grams of Tenderfort. There was improvement with 5 grams and there were greater improvements with 15 grams. And one of the the important parts to understand of this study is the dose timing was really important. So some supplements you can take and it doesn't really matter, you know, it might not, like creatine. Obviously the absorption is greater when you take it after training with some carbs.
Sugar. Yeah.
But you can kind of take it any old time because you're loading it in. You're trying to saturate the muscle fiber. However, timing with other supplements is really important, and this is one of them. You want to be consuming the collagen supplement around, they did it around the time that they were going to do the therapy. So basically you want to be targeting the collagen supplement to the area that you're trying to fix. You can't, your body doesn't necessarily know exactly where to send it. Yep. So by stimulating the tissues that are looking to be resolved, so in this case they skipped, your ligaments and tendons are kind of like a sponge. There's less blood supply than, say, muscle. Muscle's got a pretty good blood supply, so we can deliver nutrients to the site, whereas ligaments and tendons are avascular. It's hard to deliver nutrients. So what we want to do is consume the supplement, the collagen, in the period sort of 60 minutes before. And what that does is essentially kind of bathe the tissue in it. And if you think about a sponge, if you squeeze it and then let water suck up. Good sound effects,
yeah,
right?
Great.
Basically, that's...
We didn't ask you to do that again, you know that, don't you?
Just for a dramatic effect.
Yeah, it was good.
It gets sucked up into the working ligament so that the work has to be there in order to get that tissue to be actively sucking up the collagen. Then what happens is basically it starts, you know, stimulating the body. It's just the same way that, you know, protein can stimulate the growth of lean muscle. You know, whey protein might stimulate the development of lean muscle. Same thing kind of happens with tendons. We get a stimulation both through the mechanical work of doing the skipping, but also by having that extra dose of those specific amino acids, those little peptides in the area at the time, stimulate the growth of that new tissue and enhances the exercise program that has been prescribed. So when they crossed them over, so in the second 3 month block, we saw the group that didn't do so well in the first 6 months because they were only doing the therapy. When they crossed over using the tenderfoot, they were also able to improve. They kind of caught up, essentially.
Yep.
Essentially, they caught up.
We get it. Yep.
They got the same outcomes. So, yeah, I mean, this is really relevant for athletes because, you know, soft tissue injuries are one of the biggest reasons for downtime, you know, off the field, off the court, whatever. And then with non-athletes, I don't know very many people who, you know, over the age of 40, 50, who aren't actually experiencing a little bit of joint pain.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I've got my partner's mum about to start taking this stuff and she's got hip issues. So it's one of those really great supplements that A, is probably, if it doesn't do anything, it's not going to hurt you. B, it's been proven. We've got a dose, we've got a mechanism, which is what we're really looking for when it comes to looking at whether a supplement's worth it bang for buck. And with the tenderfoot, we actually have clinically proven trials with that specific product. So it's not like I'm saying my collagen and I've put 1 gram into 2 liters of water and I'm calling it beauty water, which happens once people get their, you know, their...
Well, it's better than unicorn water.
Well, look, I would not actually put it past people to come up with a beauty product called unicorn water. Or donut water.
Donut water, that's a good one.
Patent that.
I like
it. You heard it here first. But, you know, when we're taking supplements, we want to make sure that the quality is there. It's not just, you know, a second-rate product. It's been tested. It's been trialed. We want to make sure it's in a clinical dose. And we want to be replicating the protocols. And so this is the first time we've actually had quite a specific protocol that we could apply in other scenarios, which is fantastic. And that's really what I'm looking for when I'm prescribing.
I spoke to Julita about the collagen in general, but when we went down the path of getting into tenderfoot, there was a couple of reasons why we selected. One is already drug tested before it gets to us, and then we drug test it again. So 2 drug tests, definitely not going to give you a positive dose. Part of the HASTA program, batch program. The second part was the AIS study, which I love the fact that, you know, they had worked with an Australian, some of the great Australian dietitians there in coming up with a mechanism. But the other part I really like too is when they were talking to me about tenderfoot, they sort of said there's nobody that shouldn't take it. You know, it's that one group of collagen peptides that everybody can benefit from.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, that's an exciting part when you talk about supplements, is something that actually can make change.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I mean, just for the nature of our food consumption behaviors are so different, we're just not consuming. It's the same with kind of like fish oil.
Mm.
You know, we're not consuming the same amount of oily fish that we once might have, or as much as we should to get that health benefit. And the same with collagen. Like, I generally eat lean meats, which means I'm not chewing on the sinewy part. I just don't like the texture of it. So, like, anytime there's anything jelly or it's just not my jam. So this is something that, you know, A, it's not going to do you any harm, and B, it's probably going to do you benefit. I know personally I've been reading so much about collagen that I'm just like, wow, I'm just going to bathe in it, you know?
I was pretty blown away when I started reading like the research around tenderfoot. It is a very interesting, you know, what they keep calling it, a bioactive collagen peptide.
A collagen is not a collagen.
Like, and they made that very clear to me when we had a chat the other night, and we did a podcast on, you know, collagen as well.
And they've got the more industry specs on that one, and I'm definitely going to get across listening to that one just to sort of increase the depth of knowledge in the area.
Can I ask, why did we add vitamin C to that study, the AIO study?
That's a really good question, and this is why we need to eat our fruit and vegetables, people. So vitamin C is a cofactor. So a cofactor is basically a compound that helps a chemical or a biological reaction happen in our body. So if we are lacking in that cofactor, the sort of key to the lock, the reaction either happens very slowly or it doesn't happen at all. So one of the deficiencies that is associated with vitamin C that we don't tend to see anymore, but the pirates used to get it, was scurvy. You used to see people get bleeding lips and gums and poor skin. They used to poor wound healing.
Yep. Wound healing.
Healing. Enunciate, Harriet. But basically, vitamin C is a cofactor for a bit of the protein folding that occurs when we make collagen. So we...
Protein folding. What does that mean?
Basically, when we're making proteins, it's like a one long straight line. And then as a protein kind of develops, we get some linking, we get some folding, and we get to get these globs of protein. Vitamin C is involved with two enzymes associated with folding in collagen, the triple helix folding in collagen. So we've got two enzymes. We've got prolyl hydroxylase, and then we've got lysyl hydroxylase. And you'll see that the proline, which is one of the common amino acids in collagen, and we've got lysine is one of the other amino acids associated with collagen, hydroxylases. So these are enzymes that trigger folding of the proteins, the twisting in the helix, the triple helix of collagen. It's an antioxidant. So again, that in itself, vitamin C is a really strong antioxidant, which can help with fighting some of the oxidative stress that happens within the tissue. So basically, when we are deficient in vitamin C, this collagen synthesis process doesn't happen properly. And that's why we see that gum bleeding, that wound healing. We get loss of teeth because the gum integrity is not there. So basically, because collagen is like the cement that holds us together, that cement gets impaired when we don't have enough vitamin C.
Okay.
So vitamin C has been added to this to enhance
that. And that was your call. We've done that. I was going to come out with a pure tenderfoot, and you said, no, Greg, I want you to put 50 milligrams of vitamin C with it.
You know, boom. Happy days.
Yeah, that makes sense. So let's talk about endurance sports. What would endurance sports be interested in tenderfoot?
Good question. So obviously with endurance sports, we get a lot of repetitive movements. We get quite a lot of heavy impact. So essentially these tissues get worn down. Tendons and ligaments. So what we want to make sure is that if we're supplementing, we're basically bathing those tendons and ligaments, we're basically enhancing their recovery. It can be preventative. It can also be curative. So obviously in conjunction with that exercise program as well, if you do have a diagnosed issue, just taking collagen may help, but it's not going to be as effective if you don't have the corresponding program. So basically, you know, obviously with age, when we get that breakdown, that natural sort of breakdown of the tissue or decreased integrity of the tissue.
So don't wait for the injury, use it as part of the prevention strategy.
As preventative, especially if you're somebody who undertakes a lot of activity.
And like a lot of endurance athletes are
protective.
Cement, aren't they?
Yep.
What about strength sports? Why would they be interested in tenderfoot?
Yeah, I mean this crosses over to endurance as well, but essentially the rate at which muscle grows far outrates the rate at which tendons and ligaments grow.
Okay.
you actually can look at athletes who have got really good.
Harriet's flexing out right now. I'm wondering what she's doing.
The tendons in my wrists at this point. So basically, you can actually look at the tendon development in people. If you clench your fist and roll your hands towards your body, you see those little tendons that pop up. They can be really well developed in people who undertake a lot of strength sports, and they can be really underdeveloped in people who don't do a lot of lifting. When we're lifting, we get lots of muscle growth, but it might take a year to grow that muscle. We don't necessarily get the same corresponding rate. We don't get the same corresponding rate of tendon and ligament growth. It actually takes a few years for it to catch up to be able to withhold that. So we want to make sure that we are supplying those worked tendons and ligaments with adequate amino acids to help their development. So although they're sort of falling behind, if we can make sure that they are receiving the right nutrients to do the best they can to develop, that's one thing. But stiff tendons mean a greater transfer of power. So
that's a big thing, isn't it?
Yeah, that transfer of power, if we didn't have our tendons and ligaments, the muscle contraction would be completely benign. Why bother?
And that's going to work in your bodybuilding.
CrossFit. All sports. So basically, we want the muscle contraction, but we also want that ligament to be able to transfer the force as efficiently as possible. Like I said before, if you ever use like one of the stretching bands, you put them around someone's waist and you run with them like a horse and cart. If you've got a really stretchy band, you can lag all the way back.
Yep.
They're producing power, but they're not pulling you along very fast. Something's going to pop. If you've got a rope around someone's hips instead of a band, a stretchy band, if they produce a force to pull you forward, you're going to get pulled forward straight away. So essentially, we need to increase the density of the tissue to not only produce better force, but also to prevent injury. We want stiff tendons in athletes, but we also want them a little bit pliable closer to the muscle. So there's a little bit of give in them as well. So yeah, we want to increase the density. We want to increase the functionality. So we want to be training the tendons and ligaments for the work that's at hand.
So that's gonna basically from a coaching perspective and an athlete perspective, it's crucial for movement control, stability, mobility, and overall physical performance.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. So we want it. It is definitely having healthy tendons and ligaments is preventative, but it's also going to help an athlete who's been off due to a tissue injury to get back to the field or the track or the whatever modality faster. And that's the same with the punters as well. It's going to help them recover from their injury faster. So using it as a prevention, as a recovery tool, but also using it as a adjunct to a prescribed rehabilitation therapy as well.
Faster return from injury.
And that's what, you know, that's where the money's at.
Bring it on. And I was reading somewhere that in elite sport now, 70% of injuries are time away from play are soft tissue.
Yeah, a large proportion 70%. Of them are. So, you know, this can come down to the periodization of the training. And like I said before, you might get an athlete in the off season who's decided to take up powerlifting. You know, they want to increase, they might be doing a little bit of hypertrophy. They've increased their weightlifting. They're not doing the same dynamic movements as you would do in season. They might not be doing the acceleration drills. They might not be doing that dynamic stuff, but you know, they've come back. They're really strong. They can pull a deadlift. They can bench press. They can do all that static movement and their muscles have grown. But if they haven't been doing the specific functional aspect of that training, they're actually at a higher risk of injury. If you go take that athlete who's been in their off season and put them on the field and get them to do a 100-meter sprint, that's when we see a lot of hamstring injuries as people accelerate off and just get that snap because the tendon is stiff, but they've lost that little bit of pliability at the muscle site that allows that force generation. So the stronger the athlete, and there's also a higher risk of that tendon and ligament damage as well.
I think it's like putting bike wheels on a Ferrari, all good when you're going straight until you want a corner.
Absolutely. Big muscles are fantastic, but if the ligaments and tendons aren't healthy and conditioned and well-fed, basically, you know, you're putting yourself at greater risk of injury, essentially.
Okay, well, the product is called Collagen Regenerate. It's made by Body Science. It's drug-tested by HASTAR. Tenderfort is the specific bioactive collagen peptide we've used from the crew at Julita. They know what they're talking about when it comes to collagen. They've told me this isn't one of their cheap collagens. It's an expensive collagen. Strong ligaments and tendons. We've got it to market. It's in a big red bag, $29.95 a day.
Dollar a day?
Yep, dollar a day.
For...
So... to keep the 70% of soft tissue injuries away. Like, it's a huge, isn't it?
So we're looking at 5 to 15 gram dose. I would, yeah, definitely, if you undertake.
Yeah, so when we spoke to Julita, and I'm not talking about the AI study, but we spoke to Julita, they said bigger guys, definitely hitting the 10 grams, but your 5 grams is around your general pops, your 80 kilo male, your 60 kilo female, that type of thing. They also said that it does take about a month to build up your collagen levels.
Absolutely.
So I found that from my running, like it's definitely was 4 weeks in before the pain went away.
Of course. I mean, this is
and I don't have any of it now. Like, I'm a big guy, not a runner, and I just go and run. I don't have that first kilometer where I'm going, oh shit, oh shit.
Yeah, like when you look at this, you know, the rates of muscle gain, like we might be looking at 200 grams of blank muscle mass.
Yeah.
And we think that tendons and ligaments take 2, 3, 4 times the amount of time to develop. You know, we're looking at longer term supplementation. We're not just looking at a week and hoping for the best.
Yeah.
This is definitely one of those things where
it's a strategy.
It's a strategy, yeah. And you need to be diligent with it and consistent.
Yeah, nice. And it doesn't matter, hot or cold, can't hurt this peptide. You can stick it in your coffee in the morning, 5 grams, tastes good.
Hot chocolate.
I've been sticking it in my coffee every morning.
Delicious. Like I said, I'm just going to be bathing in the stuff because, you know, it gets to a point where you need all the help you can get, really. Yeah. I can hear my knees pop in the morning. And
so I don't have any of that knee pain anymore.
I don't know. It's not, mine's not pain, but just pops and it just sounds icky.
Yeah.
Puts me off my squats. You know?
Well, when I was running, it was pain.
Yeah.
Like just, it felt like my kneecaps were going to fall off.
You're a runner now, Greg.
No, I'm not. Oh. I do enjoy the running though now, and I think it's because I don't have the pain. With no pain, you enjoy something.
Hashtag run life.
Run life.
Hashtag athlete.
Get on board, Collagen Regenerate. Harriet, thank you so much for coming on board. It's been a big day, and it's really good that we could talk about a product. We don't talk about products a lot. We talk more about
general concepts, but this is definitely a product that I'm excited about all the body science products, but this is a new one to market that I think is super useful. It is a clinically trialed one. It is in the doses that is effective, and it is a very high quality product that you can't actually access anywhere else. So
yeah, no one else got tender for it, only us. Get it at Body Science. While we're there, jump on the Body Science podcast, rate, review, subscribe.
If you've got a friend with bad knees, tag them in this podcast.
Yeah.
You can screenshot the tile and you can put it on your Instagram.
If you've got
stories.
Someone with sore knees, someone who's suffering from chronic injury,
someone with wrinkles,
tag them in. Let them know it's all happening.
That's the stuff. Looking forward to our next podcast, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming, Harriet. It was good.
Today's podcast was brought to you by our partners in Fit, Happy and Healthy, ASN, Nutrition Warehouse, DY Discount Vitamins, Fat Burners Only, Evelyn Fay, Mr. Supplement, or find a retailer online at bodyscience.com.au/retailers.